Our scripture reading today is taken from four different passages, and it will be shown on the screen above. The first passage, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The next one, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you will not willing. 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Louis, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. In the last passage, John chapter 19, verse 26 to 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold, your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold, your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, good morning, church. It's a cold morning. Good morning, church. Good morning. And blessed Mother's Day once again to the mothers in our church, to the grandmothers and great-grandmothers, if there are any here. You know, to the mothers-to-be, to all the spiritual mothers who have given time and effort in so many ways over the years. Happy Mother's Day to you. Mother's Day is meant to be a day to celebrate, to appreciate, and to remember the mothers. Now, perhaps I'm not the best person to be preaching and sharing on Mother's Day, to exhort, to encourage the mothers. Now, many of you here, like me, are not mothers. But all of us have experiences with mothers in our lives. We were all children. We were at some point that attention-seeking, clingy, whiny, crying child at home. So Mother's Day is really that one day out of the year when all of us should take time to remember, to appreciate our mothers. The one day of the year where we do our best to let them know they are not invisible. Their hard work, their contributions, their needs are not invisible in the family, not invisible to the family members. So before I continue, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Blessed Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we celebrate and remember the mothers in our midst, may your word encourage and strengthen them, and may our reflections lead us to love you and to love the mothers you have brought into our lives. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now we are taking a break, a one Sunday break from our Ecclesiastes series because today is Mother's Day, a special day. And I've been thinking ever since I saw the preaching calendar that I'm preaching on Mother's Day. You know, it's every time I think about it, I'm stumped. What should I talk about? What can I share? You know, as much as I empathize with mothers and try to understand what they go through, I'm not one. I will not experience what they experience as a mother. I will not have that maternal instinct and nature. Even in the very same situation, my thought flow will be different from a mother. So today, this morning's sermon will not be your typical sermon. It will be slightly different. But yet, as I have conversation with my wife, you know, and listen to other couples, I realize that there are times when mothers can feel invisible. They feel unappreciated. When mothers can feel that their identity as a person, as a woman, their career, their achievements fades away behind their role as a mother. So I chanced upon this article called I'm Invisible, written by a lady named Nicole Johnson in her book. Let me read some of it for you. Now it says, it all began to make sense. The blank stares, the lack of response, the way one of the kids will walk into the room while I'm on the phone and ask to be taken to the store. Inside, I'm thinking, can't you see I'm on the phone? Obviously not. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head in the corner, because no one can see me at all. I'm invisible. Some days I'm only a pair of hands, nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie this? Can you open this? Some days I'm not a pair of hands. I'm not even a human being. I'm a clock to ask, what time is it? I'm a satellite guide to answer, what number is the Disney Channel? I'm a car to order, right around 5:30, please. I was certain that these were the hands that once held books and the eyes that studied history and the mind that graduated summa cum laude. Laude. But now they had disappeared into the peanut butter, never to be seen again. She's going, she's going, she's gone. Now, mothers can easily feel like this. You know, my wife, Sharon, is a stay-at-home mother. We have two kids at home. Josh is turning 5. Shana, my daughter, is 1. So I'd like to take this chance to say thank you to my wife for doing a great job at home. You know, the more I spend time preparing this sermon, the more I realize there are times when I have perhaps also caused her to feel invisible at home. When I don't acknowledge what she has done, and when I take for granted what she is doing. You know, which is why the title for today's sermon is, You Are Not Invisible. So the mothers, you are not invisible. God sees you, He knows you, He loves you. Much more than any one of us can. Mothers are not invisible in the Bible. Mothers in the Bible, you know, they might not be mentioned often or in equal proportion to the men, to the fathers, but they are equally important. You know, take for example, Matthew chapter 1, where we have the genealogy of Jesus. From verses 1 to 17, we see all the generations from Abraham to David and to Jesus Christ. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. So Tamar is the first of 5 mothers mentioned in the genealogy. She was widowed twice by Judah's sons without bearing a child, and because she wanted a child for the family. She finally disguised herself as a prostitute so that she could have that child from the line of Judah. Then we have Rahab, a prostitute, a Gentile who lived in the city of Jericho. When the Israelites' spies came to the city of Jericho, she hid them and she helped them escape, ensuring her safety and for her family. She would marry Salmon and have a son, Boaz, whom we know from the book of Ruth as a righteous and godly man. So Boaz would marry Ruth and they have a son named Obed, who is the grandfather of David the king. So Ruth herself was also a Gentile, and like Tamar, a widow. But she remained loyal to Naomi, and Boaz himself would speak of Ruth as a woman of virtue, of noble character. So the mother of Solomon is mentioned next. Not by name, she's only mentioned as the wife of Uriah. Why she's not named specifically here is another story for another time. But Solomon is actually her second son. You know, the first that was born out of adultery dies as a punishment for David and her sin for adultery. And finally, in verse 16, we see Mary, the wife of Joseph. Mary is Jewish, a virgin, pure and innocent of sin. And to her, the angel revealed that she will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit to give birth to Jesus, who is called Christ. So there are 5 mothers here, specifically mentioned in the genealogy. So if you took the time to read through their lives, that's in the book of Genesis, the book of Joshua, the book of Ruth, 2 Samuel, and of course in the Gospels, If you read through them, you would know that these five mothers are neither famous nor royalties. In fact, they are mostly poor. They didn't all have a good life. Some were widows. They were not important in the society. They were unknown. And three out of the five would be considered sinful women. But their lives, their encounters, their family are significant in the course of history. Because they knew God, because they were used by the Lord. More importantly, God knew them. God took pleasure in using them for His purpose. And God acknowledged them. God inspired Matthew to note down their names so that for generations and generations after, their names will always be read and their stories remembered when this genealogy is read in the synagogue, in the churches. In the Bible, mothers and their love is also used to describe, to illustrate the love of God. You know, when God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, He promised the nation of Israel, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. God's comfort for Israel will be like the comfort a mother gives to her child. I think our very first human encounter with love is usually with our mothers. You know, that is how we first understand love. You know, as a baby, a toddler, a crying child, even in our church, when they are in pain, when they need comfort, you know, they will almost always look to the mother first for comfort. And God uses that knowledge to help us understand how much He loves us and how He will comfort us. So mothers are not invisible in the Bible. God uses mothers to illustrate His love. The love of a mother is also used as Jesus laments over Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. I'll just read the second part. "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings, and you were not willing." You know, protection and comfort. That is what God wants to give to Israel. You know, the protection and comfort of a mother, even if at risk to their own well-being. Now, we don't get to see this kind of picture, you know, not today, you know, a picture of small chicks, you know, hiding under the mother's wings. You know, the most common picture we have of chickens are those in the supermarket, you know, prepared, ready to be eaten. If you go to the gardens, the park, you see the chickens running away from you. You know, we don't see this kind of picture. But in the days of Jesus, you know, it would have been common, and many would have understood immediately what Jesus meant about this protection and comfort. What does it mean to come under the wings of a mother hen? So mothers are not invisible in the Bible. Even though written in a patriarchal, male-dominated time and culture, mothers and their importance are not omitted from the Bible. So let us not neglect and omit the mothers in the church. Let us not have our mothers feel that they are invisible within the church. Mothers should not. Mothers are not invisible in the church. But you know that there are times when, you know, the mothers in church would actually want, they might wish to be invisible. You know, at least my wife says at times she would. You know, the two young kids we have, there are times when they become restless and noisy, you know, during the church service. And that's when my wife wishes she could be invisible. You know, to avoid the stares, the looks, avoid her own anger and frustration of keeping the kids seated and quiet during the service, trying to occupy them with books, toys, and then having them say they want to drink something, they want to eat something, they want to go to the toilet, they want to go and look for someone else. That's all the frustration. And even a concern look from any church members, even with a smile, I think the mothers will feel like, what's happening? Do I need to do something? Is my child being too disturbing? But really, children are a joy to have, you know, a blessing. But when they get noisy and cranky during service, some parents, mothers, would wish that they can disappear. And sometimes during service they do, they will disappear into the cry room at the back. We have some parents there now. They become invisible to the church. I remember some Sundays, pre-COVID time, you know, when I'm asked if my wives and the kids came to church. I know they did, but because they are seated at the back or in the cry room, you know, they are invisible, unheard, unseen. You know, mothers, you don't have to be invisible. Your children do not have to be invisible. They do not have to be absolutely quiet and sitting still for the entire service. Because even adults get restless. You know, we get distracted during the service. Even if we are on our phone looking at the bulletin, we get distracted by a message that comes in. We get distracted by some sound from the left, from the right, from vehicles moving past. You know, mothers, the Lord knows that you are doing your best to keep the children under control. You know, like the mother hen, you would love to have them under the protection and comfort of your wings. But the children are not willing. They will run. They might run, they might escape, they might move away. And God knows that you love your children and you want the best for them. And it is hard, it is difficult to teach and show them loving kindness, to show them patience and grace. It is hard at times to model for them what it means to sit at the Lord's feet and to listen. And mothers, there will be times when you must be more like Mary and less like Martha. There are times when you have to let go of the duties and just sit at the feet of Jesus, to be still and to listen. To be still, even as your child kicks up a storm. To be still, as your child creates a mess at home or in the church. Mothers, you are not invisible in the church. And what you impart to your children today is more often caught than taught. It is not the lessons you have them sit through with you. It is not the Bible stories that you read to them, or perhaps the daily bread that you share with them every night. I think what they learn most, what they treasure most, what they will remember most is the time you sit down with them, the effort you take to read with them the same book every night over and over again, the lessons you show them on love and kindness as you forgive their tantrums, their misbehaviors, their times of unloveliness. Mothers, your influence over your children is immense, is huge. You spend the most time with them. And when I think about the influences of mothers over their children, I would think about Timothy, as we read earlier, Timothy's mother and grandmother. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Louise, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. I think in this one verse, Paul tells us a few things. First, he sees the sincere faith of Timothy. Second, he tells us that this is a faith that first dwelt, was seen in Timothy's grandmother and mother. And third, Paul trusts that this faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother has been passed to Timothy and now dwells in him. Why is this important for us today? Why is this important in a Mother's Day message? I think it is important because it shows us the influence that mothers have on a child. If the mother and grandmother had not demonstrated sincere faith, Timothy would not have caught it. They might have taught, but Timothy might not have caught it. It is unlikely that he would have grew up with the same faith if this honest, sincere faith was not demonstrated. It all matters. The sincere faith that you have, one that is without hypocrisy, one is one of the most important gifts you can give to your child. It does not mean that you are perfect or your faith is perfect. It does not mean that you can tell them, you can answer every question they have about the Bible, or you can answer every question, query they have about life. But honest, sincere faith means that you are willing, even before your children, to admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. It means admitting to yourself, to your family, to the children, that you are not perfect, you mess up sometimes, that you have emotions, and that you are willing to repent, asking forgiveness from the Lord, even asking forgiveness from your child. Mothers, it is your honest, sincere faith that pushes you to bring your child, your children to church on Sundays. Even though it is tiring, even though you can get discouraged by their crying, their whining, their disobedience, it is your sincere faith that will inspire them in time to come to seek out the source of your joy, your confidence, and your perseverance. And mothers, as you face emptiness, rebellious children, know that the Lord continues to see and use your faith, your perseverance, your prayers, your cries to Him. God sees, God knows. Trust in His timing, trust in His faithfulness. And to my dear mothers in the church, the things you do for your child, for your family, the big and small things, they are not invisible, they are not unseen. Back to Nicole Johnson's book, there's a second part after what I read earlier. So, I won't show. But she writes of meeting some friends for dinner to celebrate a friend's return from overseas. And as she, the only mother, sat with her friends, she felt sorry for herself. Everyone else looked good, while she looked like a mother, you know. And then her friend who returned gave her a book. It was a book on the cathedrals of Europe. And in the book, her friend wrote, "With great admiration for the greatness of what you are building when no one sees. With great admiration for the greatness of what you are building when no one sees." Then she goes on to tell a story of a rich man who visited a cathedral while it was being built. He saw a workman carving a tiny bird on the inside of a beam, and he was puzzled. So he asked this workman, "Why are you spending so much time carving that bird on a beam that will be covered by the roof? No one will see it." And the workman answered, "Because God sees. Because God sees." And then she says, "As mothers, we are building great cathedrals. We cannot be seen if we are doing it right. And one day, it is very possible that the world will marvel not only at what we have built, but at the beauty that has been added to the world by the sacrifices of invisible women." Mothers, you are building great cathedrals. You might not know if you are doing it right at the moment, but trust God. Do you know how long it takes to build a cathedral? You know, and I mean the really, really big cathedrals, not the St. Andrew's Cathedral. You know, most of the world-famous cathedrals took over 3 centuries to complete. Over 300 years. I thought this was the most famous cathedral, the Sagrada Familia in Spain. It started construction in 1882, and is still under construction. It's not completed yet. And in my little research, the longest, the oldest, the one that took the most time is this Bristol Cathedral, Started building in 1218. Sounds weird to say the year, 1218. It was only finished in 1905. 688 years to complete. 688 years to complete. And most people will not know who were involved in the building of the cathedrals, what happened, how was the construction, how many incidents, accidents happened. But at the end of it all, we see the greatness, the majesty of these places. So dear mothers, the work you do every day for your child, you know, the hot meals that you cook, the books that you read, the buttons you sew for them, every tear that you shed for them, God sees. God knows every little sacrifice, every little act of kindness you show to your child. He knows, He sees. Your disappointments, your discouragements, your cries, the Lord sees. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. So mothers, remember, you are not invisible. You are loved deeply by the Lord. You are loved deeply by the people in your life. Love the mothers in your life. And finally, now to the rest of us in church, you know, the message is simple. Love the mothers in your life. Biological mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, godmothers. Love them, honor them. You know, the Lord commands that we honor our father and mother. Appreciate them for what they are doing for you and what they have done for you. It will take time, but we all have to learn to, you know, in a sense, complete these sentences. You know, to say, mother, I want to thank you for, or I am grateful to my mother or grandmother for, or to your wife. Dear, insert name of wife, I thank you for. If we are struggling to complete the sentence, you know, if we cannot think of something to thank our mothers, to thank our wife, then it's probably because we have not taken the time to look, to appreciate what has been done. Is cooking expected? Is laundry always done by the mother? You know, sometimes I will look at home, I'll be at home, then I'll look at the toys that are scattered around at home, and I'll get frustrated. Why are there so many toys? You know, can't the boy and the mother keep them, you know, after they have played? But actually, sometimes, you know, the fathers try to play the good guys. When you go out, buy this toy for the boy, get another toy for the boy. But my wife has actually been working hard to declutter, you know, to give away or to find storage and to help my boy to keep the toys. I just have to take time, slow down and to see. While there are some toys that are scattered around, most of them are kept nicely, I just have to slow down, pay special attention to look. The Easter weekend was about 3 weeks ago, and the focus is rightly on Jesus, the Christ, our Savior. But there is something Jesus said as He hung on the cross that relates to our message today. John chapter 19, verses 26-27. The Apostle John writes, when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, woman, behold your son. Then He said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Extra biblical material tells us that, you know, John, the disciple, took Mary to his home and they stayed together for many years, 12 years or more. Of course, there's no way to know whether that's true, but it is amazing of how what Jesus said as He hung on the cross. Behold, you know, the Greek word used can be translated as see or look. It is an imperative, it is a command, a word that is calling special attention to what follows. Look, your son, see, your mother. As Jesus hung on the cross, as his body, earthly body, was breaking down, he saw his mother and this disciple, and he spoke to them. Out of all the people present, Jesus chose to speak to them, and in simple words, demonstrated how much he loved them. To the disciple, Jesus gave him a mother to care for, and to his beloved mother, Jesus gave her a son. That's an act of love, an act of appreciation. In my opinion, my humble opinion, it is an act more for the mother than for the disciple. Look, your mother. Look at what they are doing. Look at what they have done. As Jesus cared for his earthly mother, may we learn to do the same. Of course, I don't expect you to go home today and suddenly give your mother a hug, a kiss, a massage, bring her for a big dinner at MBS, Raffles Hotel. But what you can do is to make a little more thought, is to take a little more thought and effort into showing that you care for them. I was telling Sharon, you asked me to hug my mother. Well, cannot. I think she would cringe and she would just, oi, and walk away. But as again, it's just something more. Your background, your family culture, all of us have it differently. But we can always try to do something more. Even a meal at the coffee shop downstairs would be nice. A bouquet of flowers, a stock of carnation, just something different from our everyday interaction with the mother. And make time to go home for dinner. Perhaps carve out 5-10 minutes a day, even today, just to call your mother if you're not staying with them, or go visit them, talk to them face to face. And when you meet the mothers in our church later after service, whether outside, inside here, at the canteen, at the market, maybe you can offer something more than a happy Mother's Day. Encourage them with a kind word, offer to pray for them. Encourage the mothers who are serving in the church for giving their time and effort. Encourage the mothers who are not able to serve in the church. Encourage the mothers who take the effort to bring their children early in the morning, prepare them and bring them all the way to church. Encourage them and let them know what they are doing at home, what they are doing for their family, their children, is also a ministry to the Lord. And in the days ahead, continue to encourage them, remember them, and remind them that they are not just mothers in our midst. They are still children of God. Mothers, you are still a child of God, and God loves you. You don't have to be invisible in the church. You don't have to be embarrassed by your children. You don't have to feel sad over what they are doing. Know that God loves you. God loves your child. And I think the church is where we all find comfort in the Lord. So let us find comfort in one another. Let us find encouragement in one another, joy in one another. Again, to the mothers, thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for serving the body of Christ. And I hope all of us can find some time today, this week, to pray, to reflect on what you have learned from the mothers in your life, even the spiritual mothers. Then go and thank them. And as you thank God for them in your prayers, take time to thank them in person. Do something for them. Encourage them. Appreciate them. Blessed Mother's Day, everyone. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, we know and trust that we can find comfort in you. And just as we find comfort in our mothers, teach us to comfort the mothers in our lives. Teach us to encourage them, appreciate and support them, to love them as you love us, And for the mothers in our midst, we pray for your presence to comfort, to guide, and to strengthen. May their joy be complete in you. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.